Yeah, it's this whole thing of wholeheartedness. I want to be wholehearted everywhere. Amen? I don't want to be a person that's just drugged down by anxiety and stuff of life. I want to be a person that can just walk in peace and live in peace. And I live in that, but there's just part of me that's not there completely. And so this thing about wholeheartedness, we looked at last week. If you're taking notes, there's the message title, Becoming a Person of Wholeheartedness. We looked at Master Sergeant Roy Benavidez. What a great video. And if you weren't here and want to go back and watch it, it's on our Facebook. We're actually doing Facebook Live now, and then you can also go back and watch the messages. But just watch the first 5 or 6 minutes of that video. It is an incredible video. It's Alyssa Bell's great uncle, Rick Benavidez's uncle, and just what he did to receive the Medal of Honor, a man of wholeheartedness. And so today I want to talk about, Master Sergeant Benavidez was fighting in the Vietnam War. This man is a Vietnamese. His name is Dao Son. Now I'll probably have that messed up, but anyway, that's what I'm going to call him, all right? His name is Dao Son. And so in 1996, his wife had what appears, from me reading it, what appears to be a stroke. She had a severe headache, started having seizures, and then she had paralysis on the complete right side of her body. Everything shut down. Dao's was a Buddhist, so he calls upon the Buddhist priest. They pray for her, and really nothing happens. She does kind of change a little bit, but nothing significant. Days later, some Christians come into the community. Now, he didn't know what a Christian was, didn't know who Jesus was, had never heard the name. They found out about Dao's wife. They said, would you mind if we prayed? And he said, go ahead. And so they prayed, it sounds like with much faith and in very unusual ways. I don't know what that means, but he said it was just powerful. And 3 days later, she was completely healed. And Dao said, I want to know about this Jesus. And so he talked to the Christians, became a follower of Christ himself, and then he began sharing his faith with other Vietnamese. And he had such a passion to reach out to all these Buddhist villages in Vietnam. And he would go and he'd preach in the marketplace, and the police would come and they would shut him down, throw him into jail. This was 1996, 1997. This went on for 13 years, 13 to 14 years. He would go, he would preach, he would get thrown in jail, spend some time there, they'd release him, he'd go, he'd preach. It's just this cycle. And this is what Dao found out, that his most effective ministry was in jail. He said the people that had the longest, he saw the greatest transformation were the people that were locked up. He had, as we know, a captive audience. And so he reached out to these men, shared his faith. Many came to faith in Christ. And then because of the longevity of being in jail, he had time to disciple them. And then they went back to their villages and told their family and friends about Jesus, who then came to faith in Christ. As this is going on for these many years, the government is loosening up their sort of restrictions on religion a bit. And so Dao, in 2010 or 11, thereabouts, he was in jail, had been there for a year. And the warden called him in and said, we don't know what to do with you. Okay? They said, are you going to stop sharing your faith if we release you? He said, no, I'm not going to stop sharing my faith. So, well, are you going to stop sharing your faith in prison? He said, no, I'm not going to stop sharing my faith. He said, okay. And he gives him a piece of paper. It's a piece of paper from the government. It is a license to preach. And he looks at it, and the warden says, you now have the freedom to preach if you want. And he says, does this mean I can preach in Hanoi? And the warden said, no, this means you can preach all over Vietnam. Isn't that amazing? And so in 2011, 2012, I'm not sure of the time frame there, he got connected with an organization that was spreading the gospel through these Buddhist villages. And in 1 year, they started over 60 churches. There's a guy who's wholehearted. Amen. A guy who didn't give in, didn't give up, despite the pressures, the hardships, all the trials. This guy said, I'm devoted to Jesus. And so as we consider this whole thing of what it means to be a wholehearted, this was the big idea from last week and moving into this week. Read it with me. Wholehearted believers have a courageous and sustained devotion to Jesus when challenged to fulfill the assignments of God. Amen. Amen. We see it with this man. So in Deuteronomy chapter 1, we read about Caleb. Now, you need to know the difference between Numbers and Deuteronomy. Numbers was earlier in the children of Israel's history. It's that period of time, between Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers are all kind of clumped together. And they happen sort of at the beginning of their 40 years in the wilderness. And Deuteronomy was spoken right before they entered the wilderness. And so right before they enter, Promised Land. And so right before they enter, God says this about Caleb. Backing up into verse 34, when the Lord heard you complaining, and you remember the people didn't want to go into the Promised Land. 10 spies said, we're going to get slaughtered, and only Caleb and Joshua said, we can take them out. The Lord, he became very angry, and so he solemnly swore, not one of you from this wicked generation will live to see the good land I swore to your ancestors, except Caleb. Say that with me, except Caleb. Amen. He will see this land because he has followed the Lord. What does your translation say? What do they say? He followed the Lord what? He followed the Lord what? Wholeheartedly. Say wholeheartedly.
Wholeheartedly.
Say wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. Yeah, that's how you say that word. Man, he was wholehearted. This guy served God. He had a wholehearted devotion to God. And this word wholehearted comes from a nautical term that means to persevere even though things are bad. To press ahead. In fact, nearly every time this word wholehearted is used, it is used in the context of Caleb. You can look at the passage in Numbers 32. You can look at Joshua 14. It says either completely, fully, or wholeheartedly. It's the same idea. It's to press ahead despite the elements, the distance, the hardship, whatever it is you're facing. It's to press ahead. Now, folks, I want to be that kind of believer, don't you? Amen. Say amen. And that's a good point. Say amen too. I want to be that kind of believer. I don't want to be the guy that kind of comes in for a moment, then goes out for a moment, and comes in for a moment. I mean, that's just sort of up and down in their relationship with God. I want to be the guy that's consistent. Yeah, there are peaks, there are valleys, but the guy that keeps pressing ahead despite the stuff that life throws at you. That's what Caleb was like. That's what Dow, this man from Vietnam, is like. Wholeheartedness to face the challenges of life. Now look, here's the deal about your wholeheartedness right there. You're going to be wholehearted, it will be challenged. Your wholeheartedness to take on the opportunities that God gives you. Hey, look, folks, God's given me an opportunity in this season. Scott, you can deal with your anxiety. That stuff you've had all your life, guess what? It's opportunity time. Or you can push it aside and not deal with it. You can deal with financial opportunities that maybe you're facing, relationships that are hard right now. Stuff in the inner part of you, unforgiveness, anger, whatever it may be, the Lord's saying, here's the opportunity. Okay, you know it's there. The addiction, you know it's there. You know you got a problem. Now it's time. Here's your opportunity. Are you going to do it? Because if you don't do it, if I don't deal with this thing, it's going to diminish my wholeheartedness as it does with anybody. The assignments, God gives us assignments, very specific things that he wants us to do. Things he says, this I need you to do. Those, the prodding, the pricking of the Holy Spirit where you feel the leadership to get involved in this with this person's life or to get involved in this situation instead of maybe even a family issue. You feel like, man, it's time we deal with this. It's an assignment God's giving you. If you don't, it's going to affect your wholeheartedness. But know this, that your wholeheartedness will be challenged. Now, I'm not going to go through, due to time, all the things we looked at last week. We looked at this thing, how peer pressure, just kind of like Caleb and Joshua could have sat back behind the 10 spies as they were saying, we're going to get slaughtered. It's going to be a bloodbath. I'm not going into that land. They could have just said, I'm not going to say anything. Are you going to say anything? They didn't. We know that Caleb spoke out. Some of you feel that peer pressure to not say things when you need to say things. They can move into the next thing, which is the threats of retaliation and isolation, where people are going to say, you know what? If you're going to act that way, talk to some of you. You have bosses or supervisors you feel like that are targeting you because of your faith. Don't let it because you're a bad employee, okay? Never, don't say, well, they're just persecuting me. It's really because you're not doing a good job, okay? Don't hide behind that one. If they're persecuting you, let it be because of your faith in Jesus Christ. And some of you have that. Some of you have that with family members or friends because of where you are in your walk and where you're desiring to go. People, and they're just pushing you back and they're isolating you. Well, let's move on. There's that inertia challenge. Now, this is, I do want us to look into Joshua 14. So 45 years have elapsed between Deuteronomy 1 and this passage in Joshua 14. And Joshua 14. Caleb comes to Joshua after 45 years and says to him, I want my land. God promised me land. Now that's the summary. I don't have time because of the constraints we're under right now to look at the entire passage. But in Joshua 14, verses 6 through 12, Caleb says this in verse 8, I wholeheartedly follow the Lord my God. And so in verse 9, the day Moses solemnly promised the land of Canaan, of which you were just walking, will be your grant of land and that of your descendants because you wholeheartedly, say that with me, wholeheartedly follow the Lord my God. And so, and I love what he says in verse 10, 11. He says, he's 85. Okay, he's 85 if you look at the end of verse 10. But in verse 11, he says, look, I'm as strong now as I was when Moses sent me on that journey. I can still travel, and not only that, I can fight. I can fight. Man, don't you like fight in an 85-year-old? I mean, I love that. I can still fight in a good way. That's a good thing. And so we see it with this guy. Here's the thing. He didn't give in to the inertia challenge. That is to be wholehearted all the days of his life. He could have come up to Joshua and said, man, Joshua, I'm an old dude. I'm, teeth have fallen out. I don't want to fight. Would you just give me 40 acres over there? That'd be good with me. I'm good with that, okay? He could have. Honestly, he could have. And Joshua would have said, Caleb, you've been faithful. Here you go. But instead, he said, no, I want my land. And who was on his land? Can anybody tell me?
Giants.
Say it.
Giants.
Giants were on their land, and not the football team, the Giants. I'm talking about like real giants. Giants. Look, if you remember that dialogue the Giants had with the spies said, you guys look like grasshoppers to us. And it says in Joshua 14:15, it says these were great walled cities. I don't know how big Jewish people were then. I'm just guessing. I'm throwing out 5'6". Okay, let's just say that. 5'6", 5'8". These guys were anywhere from possibly 8 to 10 feet tall. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what their cities look like? And this little 5.5-foot Jewish man said, I'm taking these bad boys down. And not only a 5.5-foot Jew, an 85-year-old 5.5-foot Jewish man. I'm taking them down. I love that, man. He didn't give in to the inertia challenge. Let me tell you, folks, look at me. Hey, everybody, look. That is the biggest challenge that every one of us have, is inertia. Just the stuff of life hits us. Sickness, problems, financial issues, busyness, job promotions, moving, television, social media. I mean, it's, you know what that stuff is? I mean, you have to go through it, but that stuff can become like a... Have you ever seen the guys that work out with a parachute behind them? You know, that's what it becomes like. If you ever run, we didn't have parachutes when I was in athletics as a teenager. What did we have, guys? What do we have? Remember? What? We had tires. That's right. We had tires. And I've run with tires behind me. Man, that is the worst thing ever. But that's what it becomes like in our faith journey. When we got all this stuff behind us, it just wears us out and wearies us. But Joshua wasn't worn out. And I talked last week just about, you know, how some of us have lost passion where we used to be so passionate for Christ. The inertia challenge is going to affect your wholeheartedness. And remember what Jesus said, in Acts 19. We're praying Acts 19 this week for our 21 days of prayer and fasting. Get signed up. Go to our Facebook page. Give us your email address on the blue card, whatever. We're playing Acts 19. Acts 19, the power of God comes down in the region of Ephesus. God just does a tremendous work in that entire region. 30, 40 years later, Jesus speaks to the church of Ephesus in Revelation 2, and he says, he looks at them and he says, I'm about to take out your light. What little light you have, your wholeheartedness, I'm about to extinguish. Because you have left, what is it? We were singing here a minute ago. Because you have left your first love. That can happen to everybody here. It happened to the church at Ephesus, the epicenter of a spiritual awakening. It happens within our lives. The next one I want us to consider is not only that, but it's related to inertia, and that's the age challenge. Danny, do you get that video? This is so great. This just happened. Here you go. Let's watch this, okay? We can put it up on the screen.
It took nearly a century, but Robert Marchand finally proved his former coach wrong. The 105-year-old set a world record by pedaling 14 miles in an hour. The crowd went wild with excitement. The 105-plus category was made specifically for him. A few years ago, he rode nearly 17 miles in an hour in the over 100 division. The former firefighter was born in 1911. That's 1 year before the Titanic sank.
Isn't that crazy?
He's lived through two world wars before becoming a truck driver and lumberjack. It wasn't until Robert was 68 when he took up cycling and hasn't looked back since. More than 60 years ago, his cycling coach said he should give up because he would never achieve anything on a bike. Well, look at him now.
Isn't it great? That just happened. I just love that. I said, oh, Lord, make me like that guy. You know, make me like 105 and still going at it right there. Let me tell you something. This is the age. He was 85 years old. Let me talk to you about this challenge. There is no such thing in God's kingdom as retirement. There's no such thing in God's kingdom as the American form or ideal of retirement. Listen, we don't retire, we refire, okay? We don't retire, we refocus. We don't settle down, we buckle up, okay? Some of us, that's what we're, man, I can't wait till I retire. Then I'm just gonna do whatever I wanna do. Do your little traveling, get involved in your little hobbies, that's fine, go do that stuff. But man, is that how you wanna amble off into the sunset of your life? The last 20, 30 years of your life, yeah, that guy, he spent all his time on his hobbies. Come on. Is that how we want to end it, with that? Instead of an exclamation point, our life just sort of ends with a period. I mean, I want to go out as much as I can with a bang, you know, with a pop. But wow, he stayed faithful all the way to the very end. Again, there's nothing wrong with traveling. There's nothing wrong with all those kinds of things. But just so many people just think, I just can't wait. I'm just going to be able to quit and just kind of do all my things. You may not have as much money when you retire, but you will have more time than you've ever had in your life. And with that time, use that to encourage, to build up, to support, to volunteer, whatever other kind of ways. That age challenge, too many of us have this idea, once I get there, then I will be. Look, let me, this is a little bit different here, but just let's let all the days of our life count. Amen? All the days, from the very beginning to the very end. I believe this. This is Scott McKay. I'm going to say this. I don't know. I've only heard some people speak to it briefly, but I'm going to say this. I believe that my enjoyment of the next life, be it heaven or if I'm alive when Jesus returns down here on earth, whatever, I believe that my enjoyment of either of those places is in part due to how wholehearted I am in this part of my life. I believe that. You see, I know that the rewards that I'm going to experience in the next life are completely dependent upon what I do in this life. Everything. So my rewards, what I'm going to get next life, it's happening now, whatever I'm doing now. But I'm telling you, I think the enjoyment level, my ability to appreciate it, my ability to experience it, my ability to fully be engaged in it is going to be, it's going to be dependent upon how wholehearted I am now. You see, Jacob, stand up. Jacob Fielding, stand up. You know what Jacob is? To a cowboy, yeah, you know what he is? You do know it. To a cowboy fan, he's a jerk, is who he is, okay? But he's a big Green Bay Packer fan, okay? Do you know where Jacob was last Sunday? He wasn't at church. You were not at church, young man. He was at the Dallas Cowboy game is where he was, wearing his Green Bay Packer gear. Can you believe that? Yeah, we got to applaud the wholeheartedness right there. We do got to applaud the wholeheartedness. That we will applaud. Nothing else, buddy. Okay. But he's a fan. What's a fan? A fan's a fanatic, right? They're a fanatic. And he enjoyed that game until the game was over, and then he almost got killed. But until then, he enjoyed that game, you know, because he's a fan. Now, you know, you take somebody else that maybe they're like, yeah, I kind of like football. It's okay. Yeah, I'm kind of a Packer fan. Oh, yeah, okay, I'll go with the game. They go on the game. They would have halfway enjoyed it, but here's what they're thinking at the end of the game. Besides, am I going to get killed? They would be thinking, where are we going to go eat? They're not thinking about the great play that Aaron Rodgers made at the end of that game, the great game that was played. They're just thinking, game over, I'm done. And I want to translate that into our experience in eternity. Friend, I think the more fanatic we are with Jesus in this life, the more we're going to be able to enjoy him in the next life. This wholeheartedness is very important. So you have the age factor. Let me give one more. I've got an enemy challenge there. And I want to say this. Okay, so he had to face the big, tall giants. And these big, tall giants are going to keep him out of the promised land, keep him out of his inheritance. Nobody else wanted to face these guys. Nobody else was volunteering and said, yeah, I'll take on the giants. Let me give the giants. Only Caleb, the 85-year-old, along with his family were. He was going to take them on. Listen. We have a real enemy who does not want you to possess what you already have. Let me say that again. You have a real enemy who does not want you to possess what you already have. Let me say that again. We have an enemy who does not want you to possess what you already have. He wants you to think you're going to get it in the next life. Don't worry about it now. You want freedom from this stuff that's going on in your life? Don't worry. You'll get it in the next life. You know that problem you're facing? You know, don't worry about it. You'll get it in the next life. Whatever it is, your life is always going to be like this. Don't worry about it. You'll get it in the next life. And God's saying, look, there is an enemy that's holding some of you captive. You've got to stand up against and say, no more. No more. Say it with me. No more. Amen. And then the last one here is the ego challenge. This is interesting. If you look at Joshua chapter 15, this is a funny little story. Joshua 15. So it says in verse 15, from there, Caleb went off to fight against the people living in the town of Debir. Caleb said, I will give my daughter in marriage to the one who attacks and captures this particular city. And so a young man named Othniel said, I'll do it. Why did he ask for help? Why did he ask for help? He just told I don't know how many months earlier, year earlier, he just told Joshua, I'm going to take these bad boys down. Well, that was what I thought. I thought, exactly. I thought maybe he wanted to get rid of his daughter, okay? That is a thought. I think, though, that it was probably, he was thinking, it might have been war weariness, right? It might have been the attrition of the people that had been with him. They'd settled down, and now they were doing their thing, and he didn't have enough help. Listen to me. Let me tell you, one of the greatest hindrances to your wholeheartedness. It's this ego challenge. You don't ask for help. I'm not going to ask for help. I can deal with this thing. It's okay. It's no problem. I'll take care of it. It takes a wise and mature person to say, you know what? I can't do this on my own. I've been trying to do this thing for about 2 years now. I'm not getting anywhere with it. I'm going to ask for help. I'm going to go get maybe professional help, financial help, whatever it is you need. Therapy, counseling, whatever. I'm going to go get help. I've tried it too long. It's not going to work. You see, some of us, when all of us, we want God to come down and do the instantaneous, and thank God sometimes he does that. Amen? He does it sometimes slowly, sometimes instantaneously. We give him praise for that. And then sometimes he comes through the voice of another person that you go ask help from. Amen? It's an ego challenge. Here's the thing. If you don't, your wholeheartedness may be at a 6 or 7. If you don't, it will move down to a 2 or 3. And then when that thing begins to get even harder, it goes down to a 1. Glenn DuPont. Is Glenn here? Is Glenn here? No, he's upstairs. So Christy and Glenn, when was it? Was it November? When? October 18th, their detached garage caught fire and burned down. Okay? And kind of singed their house a bit. Anyway, can you imagine if on October 18th, when that fire broke out, and the neighbors ran out and started, Glenn was out there, he's got his little hose, he's just kind of, you know, trying to put out this conflagration, you know, this big fire, and he's trying to put it out, and they're like, Glenn, call somebody. No, I got it. I'm good. It's okay. Brother, it's fine. You know, just pray for me, okay? And that's what some of you are doing. You got a fire going on in your family, a fire going on in your relationships, a fire going on somewhere, and you're saying, I'm good. Just pray for me, brother. What would we call Glenn if he didn't ask for help? You said it, I didn't, okay? That's right. It's exactly right. And I'm telling you, you got to get help. Amen? Amen. That help, it may not come from that person directly or that group, that whoever you're seeking. It may be that's not, but it may come from some other source. I'm just saying, be persistent about this thing. The ego challenge is a big thing you need to work through. So as we stand up, I want you to look at it's on the screen. You'll stand with me. What challenges are impacting your heartedness? And what is your response to these challenges? Just moving down, maybe from the ego challenge. Would you admit? See, here's what he did. And this is the thing that I have to embrace. We have to admit our limitations. I'm limited. I can't fix this thing. I'm limited. I need help. That's a good thing. It's humility. It's wisdom. Maybe that's what you need to do with the ego thing. It's just to admit your... The other thing is the enemy challenge. For some of you, you've been letting the enemy steal your joy and steal what God has already given to you. And you got to wake up. The inertia challenge, as we sang in that song, return to my... I'm falling back into my first love. Amen, amen. And then the other ones there, just... To be like John the Baptist, to accept the persecution. Just understand this. He who wants to live a godly life, the Bible says that person will be persecuted. You will be persecuted because of your wholeheartedness. So walk through those threats. I don't know where you are today. If you would, go ahead and bow your heads with me. If you're here and you're not sure of your own relationship with God, maybe you're just in here seeking. You say, man, I want to go, God. Today you can. You can know God. You can through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And if you're here and you say, I really want to know God and I want to come to a place of a personal relationship with Him, and you feel like you're ready to cross that line of faith, I want you to pray this prayer in your heart. Just pray, dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm separated from You. I know I need help. And I just call out today, help me. Today I admit my limitations, that I can't know You. Through my own efforts, I can only know You through the blood of Jesus, who died for me on the cross, who took my place. And today, I confess Him as my Lord, as my boss, as my Savior. I give my heart to Him today. I belong to You, Jesus. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer, let me encourage you today, tell someone you prayed that prayer. In just a moment, some of our prayer team and deacons that are available, they're going to be down front. I'd ask you, come and tell them. Just take them. It won't take more than 30 seconds. Just say, you know what? I prayed that prayer. And they're going to pray for you. Or talk to me. My wife will be in the back there greeting folks as they leave. Say, I prayed that prayer. For others of you, there may be some ego things that are keeping you or some devil things that are inhibiting you. And today, begin to walk in strength, and you may need counsel and prayer too, so come forward. Father, we thank You. We thank You that greater is He who is in us than He who is in the world. We thank You, Lord, that we are more than overcomers. We are more than overcomers through the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit so that we don't have to live in a weakened spiritual state, that we can overcome. because you have overcome for us. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Give God praise. Amen. My wife and I will be in the back. If you're visiting with us for the first time, we'd like to provide you with a special gift. Hey, don't leave just yet unless you got to. Let me speak a blessing. Blessing over you. Amen. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ today, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.